Okay, this morning we are going to be in Matthew chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 25. And when I read that title, "Who Needs a Rest?" probably every single person in here right after the Christmas holiday would raise their hand and say, "I need a rest." I'm looking at that title this morning and thinking, I know I sure do, and I'm sure you do as well. But this is a different rest. And so this morning, let's start in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 11. It says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, I just pray right now that you would bless your word. Lord, you promise us that it will never go out and return unto you void, but will accomplish everything you set it out to do, Lord. And I pray that this morning. I pray your spirit moves in this place and in our hearts. Lord, help us to be submissive to your spirit this morning. Lord, that you would be glorified and that you would speak to us as you desire. But Lord, more than that, that we would hear as you desire. In your name we pray. Amen. I love this passage. This is one of the truest passages. And I get to thinking, I've been preaching here for over 5 years now, and I've never preached this passage. I've taught it times before over the years, but never preached this passage. Well, Jesus had been dealing with teaching people, and they just really didn't want to hear what he had to say. There was three different cities that he was sharing with, and they didn't want to hear him. And he said, it'd be better to be Sodom than it would be to be Capernaum. It'd be better to be, some terrible city that something terrible had happened to versus that land where Jesus had done his whole ministry and you still rejected him. And so that's the background of this. And so that's why he says in verse 25, that I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. The wise and the prudent were those religious people, those good cities, Capernaum and the others that were there that he had went to, and Chorazin and Bethesda. He had went to them, and he had done a lot of his ministry right there in front of them, and they had rejected Jesus. And so he says, God, I thank you that those people that were going to reject me, you kept the word of God from them. You knew that they were going to reject me, and so you saved that word for those that it calls babes, those that were ready, starving for that spiritual milk. They were going to accept Jesus. And so in this passage, he's speaking to those people that are willing to listen. And so this morning, as we go into this passage, my prayer is that each and every one of us would be willing to listen. Well, you know, this is basically the presentation of the gospel, and I've already accepted Christ. I accepted Christ 40 years ago, and so what is in this passage for me? Trust me, it's there. You know, well, I don't know a whole lot about the Bible. Trust me, it's there. Well, I'm a Christian, but things are just tough right now. Trust me, it's there. And so this morning, as we look at this passage, I want us to understand, first and foremost, something that a lot of people get hung up on. and that is the sovereignty of God. And we get into that topic, that debate, and I'm not going to get into it this morning, but the understanding, first of all, what we have to understand is that everybody here has a burden. Everybody here has issues in their life that they're dealing with. When you walked in here this morning, you were not able to just lay them down. You weren't able to leave them in the car, lock them in the car, leave them at home. You weren't able to do that. And so you could very easily think of the burdens and the trials that you have in your life. You know, you might be thinking of work. You might be thinking of something along that line. But really what he's talking about here, those burdens, the Pharisees were preaching the law. You have to obey the law. That's the only way you're going to get to God is by obeying the law. And they were putting this yoke of the law on people, a yoke that they could not handle. Because the Pharisees, they were saying, this is what the law tells you you have to do, and so therefore you have to do it. And then they'd step back and not do anything to help. Jesus is not that way. And so Jesus is speaking to those that would receive, and the first thing he does is he acknowledges the fact that God is his Father, is the Lord of heaven and earth. You know, you and I go through life every day, and I'm as guilty as anybody sitting here, anybody listening, that there are times when I take back over the lordship of my life. You take back over the lordship of your life. You make the decisions based on what's best for you. I make the decisions what's based on what's best for me. And we shouldn't, but we do. Because we get to thinking about how things are looking in front of us and what we can do and how I can help God out to make things better. And I make my decisions. And I know God is God, and I know Jesus died on the cross for me, and I know He's my Savior. But sometimes when it comes to being Lord, we struggle. But you know what? If we struggle there, we've got an issue. Because Jesus says in this phrase, and sometimes we hear this phrase and it's just a religious phrase, He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He created all heaven and earth, so therefore He's the Lord. He is the one that holds every star in place and says He knows them by name. And He keeps the cosmos going. He is a God of order. But He is the Lord of that order. Because He created it, because He sustains it, because He keeps it going. If He does the same thing for you, then He has to be your Lord. But too many times, we don't want to surrender to His lordship. Jesus says, you're Lord of heaven and earth. And that means not just the heavens and not just the dirt and the water and the air, but everything involved. So my first question this morning is to you. Is He your Lord? We really don't need to go any farther than that at this point, because that's where it all begins. He has to be our Lord and Savior. He has to be our Lord. If He's not our Lord, He's not our Savior. We want the Savior part, but we don't want to surrender the Lordship part. And the two come together. So this morning, I want us to look at the sovereignty of God. Who's in control of your life? Who calls the shots? We could narrow it down to a household. Who controls the shots in your household? Who controls the shots on your ball team? Who controls at work? Who's in control is that person that has top priority. They have all the say. So who has all the say in your life? We don't want to be real honest with that question. Well, now on the weekends, God does. And when things are going pretty good, God does. And when things are going terrible, God does. But for the most part, I sneak in my share, and you sneak in your share. But it says He's the Lord of heaven and earth, and that's everything. And so we have to understand, because that's where it all begins, is that God is sovereign. He is Lord of all. Now, you may not surrender lordship. That's the issue. Is do you and I surrender that lordship to that lordship? He is the Lord. But do you surrender to that lordship? And so as we look at that, Jesus acknowledges that He's the Lord of heaven and earth. So to know, first of all, His sovereignty is where we have to start. And then, when we understand who He is and that He is Lord, then we have to make a decision. Are we going to surrender? Then it's going to give us some things that help us to maybe make that decision. He says down in verse 28, He says, "Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." Jesus says, come. Why? All those that labor and are heavy laden, you know really what that's talking about? It's not about working too hard, and it's not about difficulties in the job or difficulties at school. That's really not what that's talking about. That's talking relating to sin. The labor and being burdened down with sin. When you understand what sin is and guilt is in your life, that's when you're really labored. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He says, "Come to Me, all you who recognize that you have sin in your life that you can't do anything about." He says, come. That's the gospel. Come for deliverance from wrath and guilt, from sin and Satan, from cares, fears, and sorrows. And that's a whole list of stuff. But you know, I thought about this whole week and part of last week as I'm going through this message. And it always come back to the compassion of Christ, to where He cared enough about me to die on the cross, and then to say, come. That He's going to take care of me. He invites me to come. And as I think about that, all of us would want that. All of us would accept that, I would think. But not everybody does. But when He says, come, the issue is, if I was going to say to Lucas, come up here, what's the first thing Lucas is going to have to do? One, he's going to have to listen to me. Two, he's going to have to make sure he wants to respond. And three, he's going to have to leave that pew. When God says to come, same three things are going to happen. When He tells you to come, you've got to be listening. You've got to make up a decision on, are you going to respond? And three, you have to leave where you are. But you know, these people here he's talking to, they labor and they're heavy laden, they're burdened down with their sin. Who would not want to leave that? Us. Because when He says come, how many times, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but it would be probably very few hands if I said, how many of you, when you first heard the gospel the very first time, got up and surrendered to Jesus? If anybody raised their hand, I would be shocked that any of us would have come the first time. Because we don't want to leave where we're at. We don't want to surrender that place, whether it be a place that's burdensome, whether it be a place that we're comfortable in our sin, wherever it's at. When Jesus says, come, Why does he have to keep saying, no, come, come? For 11 years, he told me to come. It took 11 years for me to understand he's talking to you. Now, I don't know how long it took you guys. Probably not that long. Maybe some feel longer. I don't know. But Jesus says, come, because he loves you. Ken, what will you do for your grandkids? Anything. When you love somebody, you will do anything. He died on the cross because he loved us. He's there opening an invitation saying, come to me. I see your condition and I'm your answer. And we know that's a salvation call. But you know what? When you and I walk on a daily basis. Yeah, my salvation is set. I accepted Christ when I was 21. My salvation is secure in the blood of Jesus Christ. So, why is he calling me every day? Because he wants me to be closer to him. Because if he's standing by that pulpit and he says, Steve, come here, and I come, I left where I was, I'm headed in the right direction, but I'm not there yet. And I come a little closer, but I'm still not there yet. The only day I'll be close enough is the day that I stand before him and I see him face to face. Until then, I've got to continue coming because it's a process of sanctification, becoming more like Jesus Christ, and that's a process. I had a long ways to go. I have a long ways to go still yet. And that's why he keeps saying, come. Because I may take two steps forward and three steps back in a day. You may do the same thing. And you may think, like Lucas said with the cup, you just feel like you've got a hole in the bottom or you're cracked and you just don't feel like God can use you. And he's saying, no, come and I'll fix that crack. Come and I'll plug that hole. You don't worry about it. You just come as you are. He's saying, come continually. I don't care if you've been a Christian 80 years. Jesus Christ is still saying, come. Because he wants you by his side. But you know, we're okay. As long as I'm not still way over there, I'm good. Because there are people that are way over there. That's not what it's all about. Jesus says, come, because he loves you. Goes on, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here is the big difference between true Christianity and every other religion out there. They think they have to work to get it. They feel like they have to do something. They have to knock on so many doors. They have to do so many mission trips. They have to do this or do that. You cannot earn your salvation. It is given by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and there is no other way that you can be saved. He says here, you just come, and I will give you rest. You will not earn it. You will not deserve it. I will give it to you. Well, you and I grew up at least remembering parents and grandparents say, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. Anybody ever heard that? That works everywhere but here. Because here, that is just too good. But it is true. He says, I will give you rest. You don't have to keep the law to get that rest. But if you get that rest, you'll want to keep the law. I will give you rest. He's talking about two different types of rest. He's talking about an eternal rest. That salvation, that eternity with him to where we'll spend the rest of our life like we sung about, with no more sorrows, no more tears, no more death, no more dying, no more heartache. Eternity with Jesus Christ in the presence of God. That's rest. That was a promise. It's an old covenant promise. You come unto me and I'll give you rest. But there's also that rest that's daily. It's that rest that you understand that it's not sleeping, because He doesn't promise you'll get to sleep enough. He doesn't promise you'll get to take a 15-minute break every 4 hours at work. It is rest for your soul. He's talking about peace and comfort that only comes from knowing you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only true rest. And He says, I'll give it to you. All you've got to do is come. All you've got to do is understand that I am Lord of all. If you want that rest, then that's what you have to understand. You have to receive what He's going to give. You have to understand the call when He says to come. And you have to understand that He is Lord of heaven and earth and Lord of you. He says, I will give you rest. Well, so far, we would all like this. We might be able to understand, you know, okay, He's Lord. There's nothing I can do about that. So I'll surrender to that. Or we might think, well, you know, He did love me enough to die on the cross, and so I will come to Him. I'll head towards Him. And man, especially if He's going to give me rest, I definitely want salvation, and yes, I definitely want peace and comfort to walk through this life knowing that I'm walking hand in hand with the Savior of the world. I want that too. And then 29 comes. Take my yoke upon you. Probably very few people in here, maybe a few, have ever used a yoke on a farm. There might be 6 people tops in here, I would say, that have ever used a yoke on a farm with oxen or with cattle. You've all seen pictures of them, so it's not like I need to draw it out. But you understand that they put the head of one in one end, one side and one in the other. Jesus says, take my yoke. And again, this is comparison to the Pharisees' yoke of the law. They put their yoke upon them and they did not help. Here it is, you're on your own. So if you could picture that one ox with his head through one side and nothing on the other, it's just dragging. That's the Pharisees' yoke. Here's the law, follow it. But Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And it's got you on one side and Jesus on the other. And so people say, oh, well, it must be easy. No, He doesn't ever say that. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. What they used to do is they'd take an older ox and that had used it before, and they'd put the young ox in there to basically train him, and he would learn from him what the purpose was and how that together that they would be able to do more work and how they could work alongside each other and be connected with each other. When Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, He doesn't say take just any yoke. He says mine. The one that's going to do my work and learn from me. They would take, and if they put this young oxen in there and he didn't want his head stuck in a yoke, and he would begin to buck around, and the older oxen would just kind of stand there until it wore out the young one. Because the old one was gentle. The old one knew the purpose and knew it was actually for your benefit. Jesus was gentle and lowly of heart. And he says, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That part where it says his yoke is easy is by comparison. It's not effortless. No ox was ever put in a yoke and then it didn't work. If it was going, if it wasn't going to do any work, if the farmer wasn't going to do any work, then he would never put the yoke on the oxen. So anytime there was a yoke put on, work was expected. So Jesus gives rest, and then he says, take my yoke upon you. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Rest comes first. Understand that. It's not, take my yoke, work so long, and then if you do enough, I'll give you work, I'll give you rest. No, that's not what it says, because that would be work salvation. He says, I will give you rest, and then you will want to work for me. But you won't have to work by yourself. I'm going to get myself in trouble right here. Just warning you up front. How many of you have ever packed bags for a vacation? Okay, several of you, right? And you know that you've got one check-on bag. They'll give you one bag, right? It's supposed to stop at 50 pounds. That's not going to happen very often. But it's supposed to stop at 50 pounds. What have they done now with suitcases? Put those little round things on the bottom. It doesn't make the bag any lighter, but it makes it a whole lot more manageable. That's what Jesus is talking about. You're still going to have the same weight. It's just going to be dispersed by the yoke. And he's going to give you the wheels to manage it. You're still going to have the same problems in life that a lot of people have. But he's going to be right there beside you, giving you strength. And he's going to come along with a way that 50-pound suitcase doesn't have to be carried down the airport. It can be rolled. We need to understand that when he says, take my yoke upon you, the one thing that normally scares people away, well, if I surrender to him as Lord and I answer his call when he says to come and he gives me rest and I have that relationship with him, then he's going to say, and go to Zimbabwe next summer. That's always our fear. Is God's going to call us to do something that we don't want to do. But like Ken said just a minute ago, when he loves his grandson so much, his grandkids so much, that he will do anything for them. If I love God, I will do anything for him. I know he loves me that much. I don't even know how much he loves me. But if I truly love him, for him giving me rest, then I will gladly take up his yoke. I will gladly do whatever he says, because I know how much he loves me, and I know what a privilege it is to love him. I know what a blessing it is to get to love God back. And so because of that, I will take his yoke. And I will learn from him because he's gentle and lowly. And I will find rest, peace, and comfort because I walk side by side with him. Because he's there with me. He will help me get through those heavier suitcase situations. He will help me get through life, because he will always be beside me. So this morning, as I close, Some people are going to accept what Christ offers. They're going to accept the love that He offers. When He says, come, they're going to surrender. But there are others that can't surrender to His sovereignty. They just can't give up everything that He has asked for. Because you want to control your life, I want to control my life. There are people out there that just say, you know, I'll do it later. I'll do it when I get older. But He says, my Father is Lord of everything now. If you're trying to be Lord of your life now, then you're not surrendering to His Lordship. Others don't see the compassion. They don't want to hear Him say, come. Because if they understand how much He loves them, well, man, I've had a tough time in life, and it seems like every relationship I had broke my heart, and all of my relationships just, there was no steady love in my life. So what does it mean that there's a God up there that loves me when the people I see down here don't love me? Sometimes we can't understand that. Sometimes we can't explain it away. But I can guarantee you that He does love you. And He just wants you to be with Him. He left heaven and earth to come down here to be with us, to make a way that we could eventually be up there with Him. But there are people that are going to refuse that love. There are others that, man, I just don't know that I want to surrender to that yoke. I don't know that I want to carry that burden, that yoke. You know, I'm pretty comfortable. I'm getting by the way I am. And the burdens that I have now, the labor that I'm doing now, it's not that bad. I've survived this long. And they're going to try to find their rest on their own way. They're just afraid of that yoke. Wherever you're at this morning, whatever you're going through, understand that He's calling you. Like I said, you may have been a Christian for several years, but you're walking through something. If you're not walking through it now, you just came out of it or you're just going into it. But understand this, that He's calling you to come to Him. You put your focus on Him and come to Him and you'll end up where you're supposed to be. Because He's wanting you to come to Him. No matter how long you've been a Christian, you're still not there yet. He's still saying, come. We are content sometimes to just be on our way when He says, no, come quickly. Others that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you've not ever done that. Didn't need it. There's so many other religions out there that say it's all these other things. It's Jesus. He's the only way to heaven. So how are you going to respond this morning? Are you going to come? Or are you going to stay? In order to come, you've got to leave where you're at. And I'm not talking about the pew. I'm talking about the path that you're on right now. Come quickly or come to the right path, wherever you're at. I don't know. But that's my prayer for you this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for all that You do. Lord, the fact that You love us is mind-blowing. Lord, we love You and we thank You. Lord, help us to respond to You this morning, to respond to You tomorrow morning when we wake up, to respond to You Tuesday morning when we wake up. Lord, in all that we do, Lord, don't let us ignore You. We thank You and praise You, Lord of heaven and earth. In Your name we pray. Amen.